Basel III Endgame will make it harder for consumers to buy a house or a car. It'll hurt the small businesses that rely on loans to grow, and it'll reduce savings for people with money in pension funds. Regulators propose capital requirements would take a toll on families, seniors, farmers, and small businesses. Washington, scrap Basel III Endgame and start over.
Here, I'm going to give you some good ambient. Here it comes.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Nerdcast. I'm Scott Bland, your host. And you're listening to the second episode of a special daily series that we're doing ahead of Thursday's Democratic presidential debate that PBS NewsHour and Politico are co-hosting. We're going behind the scenes today, diving into the details of how this debate has come to be. Politico has a team of reporters and editors in L.A., along with our moderator, Tim Alberta, and PBS NewsHour's moderators. And we caught up with Bobby Rizzo.
We're there to
a carpenter,
put out fires or fix things or run the show without being visible to the audience.
He's on the team building the sets right now.
And you see things that nobody else will ever see.
He'll actually be backstage during the debate.
I'll be backstage with them. I'll see them. We'll be standing right next to them. And I would get to talk to them. I've talked to George Bush, Bill Clinton over the years, and interesting people, you know. Even though they're the talent, they're actually at your mercy. So the show doesn't happen without us. And on the street, we're just nobodies. But here, we're somebody. That's what I like about it. So this is what I live for.
We are literally taking you all the way backstage on this podcast. You're welcome, listeners. And we've got Politico editor Carrie Budoff-Brown.
The skies are sunny and blue, and the weather's perfect. Nice break from D.C.
And executive producer of PBS NewsHour, Sarah Just.
Just relaxing in the sun.
Yes, a little busy.
To fill us in on the months-long coordinating process between these two institutions.
When did we first start talking about this?
I think it was February.
Yeah.
They've been talking about putting on this debate for a really long time.
It was a long time ago. I mean, much longer than we thought it would be.
Right.
We thought maybe
we were going to do one of the earlier debates. Yeah. So that was in the offing for a while. And then finally came down to December.
And then I think we were happy with December, right? Like, it's actually a critical turning point in the campaign and came to embrace the timing, even though it extended out this process probably by another 3 months.
Right. And little did we know when we started planning it that December 19th would be the same week that the House is voting on impeachment. So it's a bit of a perfect storm of political news.
Exactly.
This week. We have no control over that.
Right around the time where we were, I think, solidifying the partnership was right around the time that all the Ukraine stuff broke in September.
Right.
And it's just like this pre-period versus a post-period in terms of like this crazy environment in Washington.
It's pretty intense, we just plan it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, we started talking about what we wanted to achieve broadly in a debate like this, what we wanted to do as news organizations. As we got closer, the moderators were identified. We really have been drilling down the last few weeks on exactly what we want to talk about in the debate, questions we want to ask. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes into planning a debate as well.
Sarah's team has definitely taken on a lot of that. PBS NewsHour is responsible for the production of it. So there's this whole operation that I thankfully have no visibility into. I just know that the set looks pretty damn good right now. It can look from the outside like it's a disorderly process. But I would say, Sarah thankfully has done this before, and so has Judy Woodruff, who is our lead moderator. And so there is some sort of template to follow. And just as you would plan for any major event, conventions, whatever, you know what you need to do leading up to it. And, our process on the editorial piece has been, I think pretty well laid out and smooth, even though, there have been, just obviously curveballs from left and right.
Labor negotiations. We have no control over that as news organizations, nor would we want to.
We can't control the weather.
We can't control the weather. If it rains in California, apparently that's a thing.
Yes.
We can't control when the House of Representatives decides to vote on impeachment. Right now it's scheduled for Wednesday, but maybe they'll do it Thursday. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've even got plans for what if they were to be voting while we're on the air live with the debate. So we have to plan for every contingency. The ones we can control, the best we can do is have a plan and adjust as needed.
Yeah, but there's a lot that's still to be determined, I think. The debate's Thursday, but there's still a lot that, like Sarah just laid out, both these labor negotiations here and just the news back in Washington, or really, frankly, any place else in the world, right? Given that we want this to be as timely as we can, you know, we just have to play it by ear each day leading up to the moment when it starts.
I just say, for the logistics side, you know, one of the things people think when a news organization, television network hosts a debate, they may not realize that you're also in charge of hosting all the media that come to attend an event like this, which I think there's something like 400 credentialed media coming to this event. So all of that planning is, you know, a huge, has nothing to do with the journalism, but is very important that as producers we do well. And I think a lot of people don't realize that that's part of the process too.
I've spent some time this morning talking about and working out what shirt a moderator should wear. So that's not what I expected to be doing. But nonetheless,
we don't think as much in digital as we do in television, yeah, in terms of wardrobe.
Exactly. So that gives you an example of how down to, you know, the smallest details these things have to be accounted for and dealt with and planned. And the fact that there was an email chain this morning dealing with the color of a shirt of one of the moderators is an example of that. Not something I expected.
You know, all of our moderators bring backup outfits because you want to see how it, first of all, you want to see how it, you know, like every person, how you feel that day. But we want to look at how things look on camera, because sometimes a color will look really different on camera than it does in person. So we want to try it under the lights on the set and give people a chance to pick and choose. It sounds silly, but we want everybody to look their best on the stage. We have three women moderators, you know, they don't all wear the same color. We've been definitely coordinating a little bit on that front.
This is a good group of journalists, you know, who have done really excellent work. And the other thing I didn't know about that I would have to do is do mock debates, actually. That was another one. Sort of having my reporters who cover these candidates have had to embody the candidates they cover. And we've, you know, run through multiple times with moderators, with the candidate reporters acting like they're candidates, seeing how they'll respond. And it's been fun to watch.
Yep. We rehearse and think about all different scenarios and try to plan for every possible scenario. One of the amount of research that goes into these things really pays off. And so we're really doing that every single day.
All right. That's it for today's episode of the Nerdcast. Stay tuned tomorrow for another special Debate Week episode. Our producers this week are Jenny Ament and Annie Reese. Our illustrator is Bill Cookman. Thanks. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.